Christ is your bridegroom and you are his bride. Amen. Hear the word of God from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It is not, does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Dear friends in Christ, in May I preached a sermon on the four words for love in the Greek language and in the Bible. Let me refresh your memory as a segue into today's message. The first Greek word for love is storge. Storge is family or nurturing love. The images of storge love include that of a nursing baby, a dad going for a walk holding hands with his daughter, a mother comforting her crying child, the dog lying at your feet, the baby sleeping in your arms, the gathered family gathered for Thanksgiving. This is storge love. But storge love is not the greatest love. Your family may be known as the most loving family in the community, but without agape love, God's sacrificial love for us in Christ, no matter how loving your family is, it all ends at the grave. The second Greek word for love is phileo. Phileo is best friend's love, from which we get the city name Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Phileo is the love of two people walking side by side, who can share anything with the other person and know that they will still be loved. Phileo love is the kind of love in which you can trust the other person to stand behind you, even with a loaded gun, and you have nothing to fear. Phileo love is a friend rising to your defense when others won't. Still, phileo love is not the greatest love. Even the godless can have best friends, and husbands and wives may be best friends. But without agape love, God's forgiving love to us in Christ, this best friend's love ends at the grave. And it cannot get you or your best friend out of death. The third Greek word for love is eros, which is romantic or passionate love. Inside the boundary of marriage, eros is a gift of God, the most intimate expression of a husband's and wife's love for each other. Genesis 2 speaks of eros when it says, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, not his lover, live-in, move-in, lady friend, shacking-up partner, friend with benefits, or prom date, but his wife, and they will become one flesh." That's eros love. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Any other way, and there is shame, or at least there should be, because out of the context of marriage, you are sinfully misusing God's gift of sex. Young people, you may be tempted to say it can't be wrong if it feels so right. Well, I'm here to tell you that thinking is wrong. The reason it feels so right is because the way God designed our bodies works, even if you're misusing the gift and sinning against God and the person you say you love. Proverbs 7 speaks of the sinful use of eros, or romantic love, outside of the context of marriage. And if anyone is having a sexual relationship outside of marriage, I want you to listen closely. Proverbs 7 says, "I saw a young man who lacked judgment, going down the street near the adulteress. Then out came a woman. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face said, 'I have covered my bed with colorful linens. I have perfumed my bed with spices. Come, let us drink deeply of love and and that's Eros, until morning. Let us enjoy ourselves with love, and again that's Eros. And with persuasive words she led him astray, little knowing that it will cost him his life. Outside of marriage, no matter how good Eros love feels, you're still sinning against the only God who can save you. And without repentance and Jesus' forgiveness, no matter how romantic your relationship may be, it all ends at the grave. And all of this brings us to the fourth and greatest love in the Greek language and in the Bible and in our text, which is agape. Agape is the greatest of all loves, and it is the word used most for love in the Bible. Agape love is God's undeserved, sacrificial, forgiving love to us in Christ, and then through us as Christ lives in us. Agape love is not, I love you if. It is not, I love you because. If and because are conditional loves. Agape love is, I love you, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. Many people prefer to swim in the shallow water of love by treating love only as a feeling. And when you treat love only as a feeling, what happens? Love comes and love goes. Love runs hot and runs cold. As the old song says, you've lost that love and feeling. When you treat love only as a feeling and then you lose the feeling, that's why 50% of couples who say I do today will one day say I don't tomorrow. As another song puts it, the feeling's gone and I just can't get it back. Let me be clear, true love, the greatest love, agape love, is more than a feeling. It is an unconditional commitment to another person with the love of Christ living in you that says, I love you, period. And I always will, even if I don't feel it, even if I'm not happy, I will always love you. Agape love is the very essence of God. His heart overflows with agape love. John 3, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Agape love is, come what may, I will always love you. It's that till death do us part love. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, love, agape love, never fails. Only agape love forgives our sins, gets us out of our graves alive, rescues us from death and the devil, sets us free from hell. Only agape love gives us access into the Father's good graces, access into the Father's family, and access into the Father's heavenly home. Why? Here's why. It was God's agape love, and only God's agape love, that provided the blood of his Son that sets us free. This is love, agape, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, agape, and gave his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Agape love is so committed to the one it loves that it will even lay down its life for those who couldn't care less. And this is how God loves the world that couldn't care less, with the blood of his Son. Romans 5, God proved his love, agape, in that while we were still his enemies, Christ died for us. Agape love, God's saving love to us in Christ, is the greatest of all loves. And you cannot love anyone fully, not your spouse, not your family, not anyone, unless you love them with God's agape love. Agape love is God's bleeding love to save us, so that he can give us everything he has and everything he is for no other reason but that we mean everything to him. God loved us even without our permission. He loved us even before we repented. He can't help himself. Why? 1 John 4, God is love. God's love is sort of like the old Olivia Newton-John song, I'm hopelessly devoted to you. God enters a loving relationship with us when he probably shouldn't. And he remains in that loving relationship even when he probably should leave. This is love. This is how deeply God is in love with us. Agape love is free, unconditional, no strings attached, lay down your life, sacrificial, I can't take my eyes off of you, love. This is how loved you are by God. And the deepest expression of God's agape love is this. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head on the bloody beams of the cross and died to make us his bride. 1 John 3, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. In that singular event of Christ's suffering and death, the entire world and everyone in it was, is, and will forever be completely loved and forgiven by God. Whether it wants it or not, likes it or not, believes it or not, rejects it or not. No matter what you do, God cannot love you more than he already does when he nailed Jesus to the cross to forgive you. And no matter what you've done, he will not love you less than when he nailed Jesus to the cross to forgive you. You can reject your being loved this much by God to your own damnation, but it still won't change the fact that you are loved this much by God. That he put his own son to death on the cross to forgive each and every one of us, each and every sin we ever did wrong. That's agape love. And this agape love, God's forgiving and saving love to us in Christ, changes us when it captures and enlivens our heart. 1 John 4, we love agape because he first loved us, agape, and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says in 1 John 3, anyone who does not love, agape, remains in death. If we don't love, it's not because others can't be loved. If we don't love, it's not because others aren't attractive, smart, witty, or fun. If we don't love, that's on us. And anyone who does not love remains in death. Lovelessness reveals a heart that is not captured by Jesus' agape love. Lovelessness reveals a heart where Jesus is not living. Lovelessness reveals a heart that is living against the cross and against the blood with which God loved us. That is why 1 John 4 says, if anyone says, I love God but hates his brother, he's a liar. Agape love is a love so deep it's willing to give up everything, face anything, suffer all things, and to die. To love God or to love one's neighbor, since that's what Jesus did for me. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. In other words, now that you and I have been loved, agape, undeservedly, sacrificially, and with complete forgiveness for Jesus' sake, now God says, as I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. So what exactly does agape love look like after it captures our hearts? And this brings us to today's text, 1 Corinthians 13. This is what agape love looks like in our families, with our friends, and to our spouses. Love, agape, is patient and kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not. In other words, agape love loves another person regardless of who they are, what they have, or their ability to return affection. I love you, period, because this is how God loved me in Christ. Paul says agape love does not seek standing ovations, accolades, or pats on the back. It simply loves to love. Just as God first loved me in Christ without any merits or any worthiness in me. Next, Paul says, love, agape, is not rude or self-seeking. Agape love loves others without thought of whether or not they are worthy of love and without any thought of whether or not they can return the love. Agape love is not self-seeking. It's self-giving and sacrificial. It enjoys spending itself on others, That's not to say that it's wrong to enjoy being loved. God wants us to enjoy being loved in Christ and by Christ through others whose hearts have also been captured by Christ. But when Christ's love, agape, has its way with us, we ask ourselves, how can I love my spouse? How can I love my neighbor without any thought of how they can or should love me? Paul continues, love, agape, is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Agape love spends itself on those who don't deserve it. It's unconditional. It flows from the heart of God in Christ to us and not from the attractiveness or the performance of the beloved. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Agape love, the greatest and deepest love, is not just about remembering the good things, but it's about forgetting and forgiving the bad things. Agape love deals with our spouses the way Jesus dealt with his bride. He laid down his own rights, reputation, safety, security, health, and even his own life to love and forgive his bride. Jesus put his forgiving cross and blood between us and our sin. And he wants spouses to put his cross and forgiving blood between each other and each other's sins. When it comes to our sins, Jesus' blood has caused God to have divine amnesia towards us so that he remembers our sins no more. And Jesus' forgiving blood is now the source of husbands and wives love each other with divine amnesia and forgiving and forgetting each other's sins. Paul ends by saying, love, agape, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love, agape, never fails. Only God's agape love to us, secured by Christ's forgiving blood, gives husbands and wives, families and friends, lovers and sinners, the forgiveness, life, and salvation we need to truly love one another and to live happily and eternally ever after. Only God's agape love to us in Christ gives husbands and wives the capacity and the resources they need to forgive each other, to love each other when the other is not acting very lovable. Agape love is given even when the other doesn't deserve it, just as Jesus loved us when we didn't deserve it. Without this love, Christ's love, you can have the best family. You can be best friends. You can even be best lovers, but it all ends at the grave, if not before. But in Christ and with his love, you are forgiven, enlivened, and reinvigorated to love your spouse as you vowed you would, in good times and in bad, in joys and in sorrows, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. Until death do we part. And the launching pad for that kind of loving is that of Jesus Christ and his love for us, even though we were an unfaithful bride to Christ, and we were and are repeat offenders when it comes to sin. Jesus didn't leave us, divorce us, abuse us, scream at us, throw dishes at us, forsake us, or abandon us. Instead, he took us back. He even went to the point of dying for us so he could bathe us in his forgiving blood and by his love present us to himself as a beautiful and radiant bride without any scar or blemish whatsoever, so that with his love and forgiveness as the center and foundation of our marriages, husbands and wives can be best friends, phileo, truly enjoy God's gift of romantic love, eros, to its fullest, raise wonderful, beautiful families, storge love, and be so captivated by our spouse that we will love him or her undeservedly, sacrificially, and with forgiveness, agape, until death do we part.